Good to see you again. My husband sends his wishes. He is actually preaching a pastor appreciation for Jamie and Luke Hodges in Beckley today. And so I wish them a good service as well. But I also know that God's going to do something here. As many of you know, some of you have heard the way I preach, and maybe you haven't. Maybe this is your first time getting to experience me. Congratulations. No. So a lot of times I have plans in what I'm going to preach, and I'll start down that road. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to preach on this to our people this morning. And as I was planning to preach something else, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, no, you're not. And I'm like, okay. So he wanted me to preach a message today titled, There's Power in Pain. We all know that life brings us different kinds and forms of pain, right? We don't get to choose everything we go through. Sometimes I wish that we did. We have to learn to power through our pain. And when the pain is handed to us, we decide what or how you're going to deal with it. We all know that pain is inevitable. Okay, we're all going to suffer. We don't want pain, though, that there isn't a purpose attached to the pain. One of the most depressing things that we say is, I just don't see a purpose. It might be in your marriage, in your finances, or even your spiritual life this morning. You say, what's the point? What's the purpose? I'm exhausted. Why should I keep trying? I keep trying. I keep doing this, and I do it over and over and over again, and nothing changes. Why don't I see anything good happening? It doesn't matter. There is a reason. I've heard it said that people hate pain, okay? I know I do. If you're watching this morning in the live, type in the chat, I hate pain. Raise your hands in here today if you hate pain. I don't know, maybe you like pain. I saw a lot of hands not go up. Somebody is pain seekers in here this morning. It's not that we hate pain so much, but it's pain without a purpose. You see, we can endure a lot of pain. There's so much that we can endure if there's a reason for it. Example, I know several people who pay money to run in a marathon. Okay, I have good friends that live in the South, and they do all kinds of marathons. They do them all the time, and they make it a goal to see how many they can do across the United States. My brain does not understand that. Okay, if I'm running, it's because something scary is chasing me, and I've got to get away. And honestly, I don't run really good. My husband makes fun of me. He says I'm a sissy runner. It's probably going to eat me. I'm just saying. I am not a good runner. But there's a purpose for that kind of pain. Kind of like, you know, we have to have surgery sometime, right? And our bodies hurt, and they wear out, and we have to get new knees, new hips, and all these things. We're in a lot of pain. But we know that we're going to have to go through a certain amount of pain to endure recovery, right? There's a sense of accomplishment, and we will pay for certain kinds of pain, right? Amen? Some of you enjoy in here this morning the gift of sobriety. You've had to endure the pain of detox and rehab and changing your mindset to get the place where you are today. Amen? And I congratulate you this morning. You see, there is a power that comes from that particular pain, okay? Because not all of us have endured that pain, but there's a power that comes from it. And I wonder if there are people who are living in a season of uncertainty. Just things don't make sense to you. You can't understand why you're going through this kind of pain, this particular pain. And we've all had to endure pain in our life, and we'll continue to have to endure pain until Jesus comes back or we go by the way of the grave. We will endure pain. But there is a pain that some of you are dealing with that doesn't seem to end. So I'm going to ask God, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the goodness of your word, that in the middle of the pain that your people are feeling this morning, in the middle of confusion, that we begin to see your goodness and a reason and a purpose for this pain. In Jesus' name. In Luke 22, 31 and 32, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. You don't have to stand. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Okay, so he's saying here in this scripture, Satan has desire to attack you. He has desire to come after you, to touch you, to hurt you, to test you. But listen, Jesus says, Simon, he's going to attack you. He's coming after you. Okay, that's his warning. But he says, I've prayed for you. How about, yeah, thank you, Jesus, and I'm glad that Jesus is praying for me, but this is where my mind goes sometimes. How about just pray for me and get the devil on out of here? Run him off. Kick some devil booty. Come on. Does anybody agree with me this morning? I'm like, okay, God, you're praying for me, and I know that you're for me, you're not against me, and I know all the things. But sometimes I'm just like, just get him out. I'm sick of him. I don't want to deal with him anymore. But he said, permit even this, and he permitted it. He allowed it to happen. The devil did not have permission to touch him without God's permission, and he doesn't have permission to touch you or your life without God's permission. And that kind just doesn't sit right with me all the time. That God allows Satan to touch my life. I have a problem with that sometimes. I'm going to be real. That's a really tough one for me, that all the times I've asked God to take things from me, he did not. Then when I've asked God to save me from this pain, he did not. But verse 32 tells us why. He says, so your faith don't fail. You see, God has healed me, and he's protected me from all kinds of things, okay? I've watched God's hand be in certain situations in my life, hand of protection. I'm like, whoa, I know that was God. But God has also allowed me to go through some things this morning, and some of them were very, very painful. Amen? But he tells us he allows us to go through these things so our faith don't fail, so that when we repent and turn back to him again, when we repent and turn back again, it will strengthen your brothers and sisters around you. And you think, God, why would you allow this to happen to me? You know, why are you making me go through this for them? I don't even know her. Why am I enduring this kind of pain? Why am I having to suffer like this for someone sitting beside me? It's for those that are with you. It says, people are watching your life, and make no mistake, some people are cheering you on this morning, and some people are just waiting and watching for you to fall. They want you to fall. There's people that are for you, and there's people that are against you. And there's people for me this morning, and there's people against me. There are people that are waiting for me to fail at what God has started in my life. And that's sad to say, but it's the same that goes with you in your life. So what you're going through, your pain, is the strength in those around you this morning. Some of you may have begged God for a spouse, and I can say this, my husband's not here today. And now that you're married, you're asking, God, what did I do? Sorry, honey, I love you. I really do. Why did I ask so intensely for these things? Why do we get so passionate about certain things? And then God says, here you go. Slaps it right in your lap, and then we're in an enormous amount of pain because we can't deal with what we've asked God to give us. The pain becomes too much. And some of you have asked for a job, and now that God's given it to you, you're miserable. You want out of the job. God, give me this job. God, can I have this? God, can I have that? And God gives it to you because you're persistent and you ask him for it. But sometimes that's painful. And sometimes you got to do things you don't want to do. But there's power in your pain. Some of you are fighting an illness in here this morning, and you cannot understand why it's lasting so long. To be honest, you might not even know where it come from. It might just come out of the blue, and you thought, okay, well, I'd be better by now. And you're not better. And it's lasting a long time. God, why are you allowing this to happen? The pain is too much. But there's power in your pain this morning. You maybe feel like you're failing as a parent. Any parents feel like they're failing? I can raise both hands in here. Sometimes I feel like I'm just barely making it. How about as a provider? Whenever it feels like the devil is tempting or attacking you, it is important to remember that sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. And I'm going to ask you to write that down. It's important to remember that sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. Sometimes God has greater things for us. Or, you know, sometimes maybe he's even preparing things for us, but it comes packaged as pain. And that's hard for us to wrap our mind around. We don't realize that the pain that we are enduring, there's a purpose for it. And there's a power that comes from it. I don't know about you, but Peter makes me feel pretty good about myself. Peter continues to mess up. How many of you have a friend like Peter? Anybody got any friends like Peter? Makes me feel pretty good because Peter continues to mess up. So when you got friends that mess up all the time, it makes you look good. Or maybe you're the one that messes up all the time and they think, well, they make me look good. But there's so many different attacks on Peter's life. In Matthew 16, that is where Jesus actually predicts his death. Okay? God sent me to give my life, is what Jesus says, and raise me from the dead. And what does Peter do? Peter basically rebukes Jesus for clearly defining his mission. And Jesus says, no, Peter, this is why God sent me. And Peter told him no. He just looked at him and said, no. No, Lord, this is not what you're doing. So Jesus actually tells Peter to get behind me and actually calls him Satan in verse 23. Just so you know, anytime Jesus calls you Satan, that's not good. That's not good. So Jesus is telling Peter his calling, and Jesus is explaining to Peter, this is what my heavenly Father has asked of me, and this is what he wants me to do. Then there's another failure. In Matthew 26, it tells us they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. While Jesus is struggling with his calling, he is begging and pleading with God that if there is another way that we can make this happen, please make this happen another way. God, I don't really want to endure this kind of pain. Can you imagine what Jesus was going through? And listen, he was going through all of this for us. He had never met us. He saw us, but it ain't like we was out there with him, walking with him, but he was willing to endure this pain, this kind of pain, his calling for someone else. God, I don't want to endure the pain, is what Jesus was saying. And Jesus tells Peter to stay on guard, okay? Watch. And Jesus comes back a little while later, and Peter's talking, you know, he's taking a good nap. And how many of you this morning, don't raise your hands, because I don't need to see all that. Has God asked you to do something? And you're excited about it? Yes, God, I'll do it. To come back, and Jesus finds you taking a nap. Yes, Lord, I'm excited to do this. God, I'm going to do this for you. And for a week, you know, you're pretty good about it. But then Jesus finds you sleeping on your calling. In John 18, later in that same story, Jesus is arrested for doing what he said he was going to do, and Peter tries to stop it from happening, right? He reaches down, draws his sword, cuts off the soldier's ear, and Jesus is like, calm down, Peter. Put your sword back. Can you see him? He's just all aggressive. He's just always willing to just do stuff, and what's Peter do? Mess up. He's always messing up. Can you picture this scene with me? He cuts off his ear. Jesus is probably literally rolling his eyes, saying, well, somebody help me find the ear because Peter's done cut off the soldier's ear and I need to put it back on and somebody help me find the ear. Because he needed to fix Peter's mistake again. How many of us have felt that way? All we want to do is good, right? Our intentions are good. I don't think anybody has any bad intentions in here this morning. But you can't get out of your own way. Jesus got to be going around cleaning up our mess all the time. Will somebody help me with Glennett? Will somebody help me with Ashley this morning? I need somebody to help me. How many of us have felt that way? I see you this morning. And Jesus prophesied that Peter would deny him three times before the morning. Okay, he told him. And Peter was like, no, 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 Lord. I'm sold out to you. I love you too much. I'll follow you unto death. Anyone in here guilty of saying this very thing? But then go out. I got you here. Go out with some sketchy friends and say, should you be out here with us? I thought you go down to that Promise of Victory church in Weirin. And you're like, oh, man, I'm really stuck now. I'm with Jesus. I'm with you. I do go to church. And you say, nah, that's not me anymore. That's not me anymore. I don't want none of that Jesus stuff. Come on now. Some of you know what I'm talking about this morning, and you know who you are. In Luke 22 and 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter knew exactly what he had done, and the pain of his life's chores made him weep bitterly. We know what we do. We know what we do, how we say it, when we do it. We know when we hurt people. We know. But you know who else knows? God. We know what we do, and our intentions are to do good, but instead of doing good, we do bad. We do wrong, and it causes us to feel bad. It causes us to cry that we hurt God and we hurt those around us because we don't want to do the things that we keep doing. The pain that Peter was feeling was more than he could take. He actually felt much like a failure, and everyone around him could see his mistakes. They could see his failures. They could see every time that he failed, and he always felt like he let God down. And I know that there are people here this morning who feel like this because I have felt that way. I have felt like a failure so many times. It's a struggle. Do I have anybody in here this morning that feels like a failure at times? Maybe you started a business in here this morning and you didn't make it. Maybe you promoted something so well and you firmly believed that this time your life was going to be this. This is what you're going to do, and it didn't turn out that way, and it hurts you. Maybe you're divorced in here this morning, mom or dad, and you've attempted to walk this walk with God 1,000 times. You keep saying sorry and you're going to do better, but you just keep falling. And maybe you feel anything but the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But instead, you feel anger, anxiety, frustration, fear, worry, and all of these things instead of feeling the things that we're supposed to feel this morning. God tells us that we're supposed to be joyful in Him. That kind of thing makes me want a whole gallon of ice cream and a whole cake. And that's just warming up, okay? Because when we feel these things, when we're going through these emotions, when we're going through these kinds of pain, it's hard. It hurts. It's painful. Some people are having the time of their life with Jesus. Meanwhile, you're just struggling to make it day after day. God don't want that for you. Pain, it takes over you. It consumes you, your mind, your body, your spirit, and it controls you. Where was God in the middle of Peter's failure? Anyway, where was he? Every time he kept failing, where was he? In his regrets. There's a reason, and there was a power in Peter's pain this morning. Sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. And that's what I try to tell myself. Amanda, don't just look at life from a perspective of pain. And it's so easy in a season of loss and failure and frustration, we start saying things like this. This is what I lost. Or this is what I was going to do with my life. God had these plans for my life, and I messed it up. So I can't do that now because I've done messed it up. God, why don't you just fix the problem and spare this pain that I'm feeling every day? Does anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? We need to start seeing our pain from a perspective or a purpose of power. Realize that God may be doing something in you before he does something through you. Realize that God is trying to change us on the inside before he can use us on the outside. And make no mistake, God has plans for your life. Each and every person that I'm speaking to this morning, if you're watching by live stream or sitting in this room, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Tell your neighbor this morning, God has a plan for my life. Come on, tell him. It might take a little longer to get there. But make no mistake, God will fulfill his purpose in your life. And you cannot mess up enough for God to still not choose you or desire you. Yes, he deserves praise for that. We make all kinds of mistakes, but God says, I choose you. If God himself starts something in your life, he himself will be faithful. Meaning, God is trustworthy. He is loyal to complete his plan in your life. We will have bumps and bruises along the way, but you're going to get there. I said, you're going to get there this morning. So the difficult thing that you're going through right now, God may be allowing it to strengthen you in a way that only this pain right now could strengthen you. God knows what to allow in your life, and he knows what is going to make the best you. And there's power that comes from that kind of pain. In Romans 8 and 28, it says, Paul says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. How many of you love God this morning? How many of you have a genuine love for God that you could say, I love Jesus, and you're not ashamed? Amen. Who have been called according to his purpose? Whose purpose? Not Amanda's purpose. Not because I feel like somebody's pressuring me to do something, right? Not Sarah's purpose, but God's purpose. It means if you get a promotion or if you get laid off from your job, he says all things. Not some, but all. He is a good, good father this morning. Even in the middle of our pain, he is still a good father this morning. So whatever you find yourself in, whatever pain has a grip on you right now, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because in a room this size, there's good, there's bad, and there's ugly. God works for his good. It works according to God's purpose, not according to your pain. So it's according to his plan for your life, not according to the pain that you feel in this room this morning. You see, I want to change my perspective, the way that I see pain. I can't speak for any of you this morning, but I want to change my perspective. I will continue going through the same cycle if I don't change the way that I am viewing someone or something or a situation. I am going to continue to see that the very same way. I have to decide to see things through the eyes of Christ. I, Amanda, have to decide to see things the way that Jesus Christ wants me to see them. And it doesn't matter if this person's making you angry or this person hurts your feelings or whatever. We don't know why people do what they do. But we have to change our perspective and see things through the eyes of Christ, not through the eyes of our pain. Will somebody say this morning, there's power in my pain? I don't know what some of you are thinking right now. But I know that some of you are probably saying, Pastor Amanda, you don't know how much this hurts. You don't know what I'm going through. I may not have been through the exact same thing that you have, but I, my friend, have felt pain many times in my life. I've had pain that's affected my body. I've had pain that's affected my mood. I've had pain that's affected everyone around me because I could not see a way out or see a way around my pain. I was not seeing things the way that God needed me to see them. And sometimes it doesn't matter what people are telling you. They can tell you all day long, this is what you need to be doing. This is the scriptures that you need to be reading. But until you change your perspective and see things the way that God wants you to see them, things are never going to change in your life. You see, what's bringing you the most pain right now is what God might use to develop you in a way that he can use that. In fact, the stronger the pain might be an indicator of the greater of the purpose on the other side of this. And that, my friend, you can get excited about. Because in the middle of whatever you're going through this morning, whatever that pain is, that is an indicator that God's going to use that. He's going to use that. Somebody shout, there's power in my pain. And James 1 and 2 says, consider it pure joy, not just joy, but pure joy. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, we're not just going to go through one thing in our lifetime. He's telling us we're going to go through many trials because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. This verse confuses me just a little bit. It's kind of like Jesus is using reverse psychology on us. You know, does anybody do that with their kids? Mandy's like, yes. You know, maybe he should have just said, hey, don't be joyful. And we would have done the opposite because we're rebellious. It's in our nature to just rebel. It's our nature to rebel against the Lord. But sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. I want to look again at Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, where we started. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you with wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. When you have returned to me, when you have returned to me, I'm going to say it again. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers and sisters. So the very thing that the enemy has tried to beat you up with, that very thing God is going to use to help other people this morning. I'm telling you, as well as I'm standing in this pulpit, God spoke to me and told me there are some things that people are dealing with, and I'm going to use what they're dealing with to help other people. You will turn back. If you're watching this morning, you will turn back, and when you do, you're going to be strengthened. You will be stronger. You will be prepared for God's purpose. You see, there is power in your pain. This anointed power that comes from the pain that you're facing this morning, when Jesus did accomplish what he said he was going to do, and we all know, he was arrested and he died on the cross. The first person to preach on the power of the resurrection and the forgiveness of our sins was Peter. The pain was the preparation at Pentecost when Peter said, repent of your sins. He knew what it meant to be forgiven, and because he preached, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ that day because God was doing a work in Peter through his pain. You might not always see a reason for the struggle. You may never know why you're going through what you're going through, but by faith, choose to believe God. Ask him to give you eyes to see things the way that you want him to see things in your life. Help me to follow you, God, with faithfulness, and know you are working things for my good, that there is a better life than the one I'm currently stuck in. I choose to believe you, God. I choose to. Sometimes we have to say those words when we don't feel it. Sometimes we have to say, I choose you, God. I'm choosing you. I don't know why I am, because you keep not answering me. And sometimes we just have to be persistent. Sometimes God just wants to know how faithful we are to him. I have wrestled on and off with my calling with the Lord, most of it being my confidence. Just to testify a little bit this morning, not feeling good enough, or when problems arise, I would sit back and say, God, my life's not good enough right now. I can't be used of you. I cannot do this because my life is not good. I can't be trying to help other people because things aren't good. My marriage isn't, my faith isn't, the church isn't, my kids are not, my health is not, and the reasons are endless. But I came to find out that there's always a reason to do something, reason not to do something. So if you're looking for a reason this morning, there will always be an excuse. One of the hardest things for me is watching my kids struggle. That's the hardest thing for me. I've been through a lot of things, a lot of health scares, surgeries, cancer scares, like you name it. But the hardest thing for me is watching my kids struggle. Holding on for somebody else that you love is hard. And now I watch my granddaughter struggle with her health issues. She's a sweet little girl that's struggling with some things, and she doesn't even realize she is, because she doesn't realize it's a struggle yet because she's so young. But it's the things that she's going to face in her future unless God heals her. It's things that she's going to face, and it's hard. It's very difficult for me. It's difficult to find your faith when we pray about things and we don't see. We don't see God answering that prayer. I know some of you have prayed for your loved ones for years and years and years and years, and things still look the same. They're not changing. And it's hard. But my kids do it with such grace. And God does not make mistakes. Nothing he does is a mistake. So I have started to shift the way that I think about my pain, because our knowledge is limited, but God's is infinite this morning. And I know that God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, Amanda. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give me, Amanda, a hope and a future. You see, whatever comes at us today, whatever pain that you're finding yourself in, you can get up out of it, because God has a future and a hope for you, and there is power in the middle of your pain. And there is a spiritual enemy. He wants to keep you bound in the pain that sits in your chair with you today. His goal was to keep you there. And he will keep you there as long as he can keep you there. It might be a month, it might be 20 years. His intentions are to hurt you, to hurt your family, to harm your future, and to steal your dreams and your hope and take your future from you. You see, the enemy loves to keep us bound day after day in our shame, our condemnation, our insecurities, and our failures. We cannot go back and do anything about the past. We cannot change anything that we have done. But you can choose this morning to take steps in the right direction and allow healing to begin to take place in your life. You see, you have to have eyes of Jesus. Tell the enemy, I know I will see a purpose even if I don't see it right now. Tell your neighbor, I know I'll see a purpose even if I don't see one right now. Hallelujah. God does not waste pain. Remember, Jesus has prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Some things aren't meant to feel like success. They're not. Some things are not meant to feel like success, but simply survive. If you survive, something's good. Give yourself a hand clap. Amen. Amen. What I have found walking with the Lord for 29 years is he's always proven to be faithful, and he's never left my side. Not one time. Even though some terrible times have come my way, his faithfulness is rewarded, and I've gained power through that pain. There's been times that, if I'm being honest this morning, that I have wanted to walk away from God, because sometimes you just go through so much and you think, what am I doing this for? This is hard. Our focus is immediate, but God's is ultimate. So instead of looking at the pain, choose to see his purpose. You can get up again, and you can begin again. You will see hope again. And I know some of you in here are worn out. If I am worn out and I am co-leader of this church, if I get worn out, I know you are worn out, and I know you're tired, and I know you're frustrated, because I see you. I've been there. I am there. And sometimes God delivers you from pain, and sometimes he makes you walk through it, because he knows you're going to learn something from this particular type of pain. Why, God, this pain? Is there anyone here today that the Holy Ghost has been speaking to? I know he has already, and the Lord has already showed me some of your faces. Are you willing to say, God, I can't overcome this with you. I can't do this. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself, but you can do anything with God. You can do anything with him. And I promise you that there are people that will hold you and hold your hand and encourage you every step of the way. You just got to find the right people. Some people don't want you to accomplish anything. Some people do want you to fail. You got to find your people. Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask this morning that you do what only you can do. I have no power to make anything happen. And I know that you can, and I know that you will set out what you have set out to accomplish, Father. Bring about all things that will give you glory today. Father, I'm asking that you heal, touch, and deliver. Set free, bring peace, comfort, and clarity right now. Maybe you're here today and you have felt stuck trying to understand this pain. God wants to change how you're seeing it. See, we're seeing it with eyes of flesh. God wants us to see things through the eyes of the Spirit, through him. So is there anyone here this morning that's willing to come and surrender, say, yes, God, I'm choosing to allow you to bring about power from this pain that I'm feeling. God, I'm choosing to believe that you are going to use me from this pain that I've been going through. I don't understand that it's taking so long, but God, I know that you are more than able, and I'm choosing to trust you this morning. I'm going to give you just a few more minutes. The Holy Spirit has showed me some of you before I even came to church this morning. So if you don't end up here, don't be surprised if I don't come get you and pray for you, because I already see who you are. You know, when I started this journey, which was many years ago, I never thought that God would use me here. I never thought that God would use my pain and my mess ups to help encourage other people. But what I have found with walking with God is the more that I go through, the more he uses me. So the things that you're going through this morning, you may be just like what I said I was. You feel like a failure. You don't feel like you're good enough. You just keep messing up. You know what? If God used Peter and he was always messing up, what makes us think that we're any different? What makes us think that, okay, well, you know, Peter was one of the disciples. Yeah, but God picked him. God picked him and he chose him. Maybe you're here this morning and you have just been dealing with something in your body, or maybe it's some kind of hurt of the past. Maybe you lost someone and you just can't get past that hurt. God does not want you to live there. God does not want you to stay in that place of grief. He wants you to come out of that. He wants you to trust him and choose to see him, see the situation through his eyes. Thank you, Jesus.